Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. We know running a small firm is tough, and ending the year with a profit is even tougher. That's why we created Profit for Small Firm Architects. It's a 3-module digital course, and it's available to you for free right now by visiting entrearchitect.com/free course. Entree Architect Podcast, episode 127. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. We are living during an amazing period of time with rapid change and global innovation. Human society is changing every day right before our very eyes. The world as I knew it, as a pre-internet child, no longer exists. And the world that we are experiencing today, right now, will be unrecognizable in less than a decade. This week at Entree Architect Podcast, I share my thoughts on 6 technologies that will radically change the architecture profession in less than 10 years. This episode of the Entree Architect Podcast is sponsored by FreshBooks, the easiest way to send invoices, manage expenses, and track your time. Learn more at freshbooks.com/architect. So I find it a bit ironic here sitting at my studio here at Five Cat Studio with no power. This morning we had a power outage. The wind is blowing a little bit. It's a beautiful day here in Westchester County, New York. Blue skies, sunny. It's a little cool, but windy. And this morning we had a tree fall on the neighbor's power lines and took down the entire power line in front of the house. So we have no power here at the studio. And today I had planned to record this episode about technology. So here we are with no power, limited technology. But what's really cool is that I grabbed my iPhone, grabbed my iPad, and headed out. And I took off to Starbucks and used Starbucks Wi-Fi to prep for this episode. So here we are, technology at its finest. Even though we have no power, I had the devices, I had the tools to continue doing what I'm doing. So it may sound interesting that I'm talking about technology and here we are with no power. So technology in architecture is constantly, continuously improving, and it's constantly evolving. It's changing, and it's changing the way we do what we do as architects. It's changing the world every day. Every day we're living in such an exciting time to see the innovations that are happening all around us. From the day we were born until today, the world has changed completely, completely. I was born in 1970. Amazing revolutions in technology since the 70s. In architecture specifically, technology sort of entered our profession in the 90s, and that's where I entered the profession as well. I entered the profession in 1993, graduated in 93, got a job, and CAD was in that transition. We were in that transition between hand drawing and CAD drawing. And Anne-Marie, my wife and my partner here at Five Cat Studio, and I, that's where I met Anne-Marie. We were the first ones in that office to run CAD. And we actually weren't even trained in CAD. That's how early we were in the transition. The schools were not even teaching CAD as a mainstream topic in schools. They were teaching it, but it was like an option. You know, there was CAD class that you could take it as an elective if you wanted to. But everything was still hand drawing. Our education was all hand drawn. Most of the offices were still hand drawing, using drawing drafting boards and straight liners, and so the 90s is where this transition happened. I was part of that transition, and I saw the resistance that firms had. The older generation who were hand draftsmen say, this is just a fad. This is not going to be necessary. We're not going to need this. And eventually, as you all know, CAD came and dominated the profession for many, many years. And today we see that same transition happening, that same evolution in our profession, moving to BIM, going from CAD to full building information modeling, through 3D modeling, two different things, 3D modeling, building information modeling, sort of taking the information that goes inside buildings and around buildings and how buildings work and everything that it puts it together, puts it all into that model, and it becomes BIM. And BIM is already changing the profession, right? So the way we do architecture is shifting from CAD to BIM. And so not only is the profession changing from a technology point of view, but also the workflow of how we do what we do as architects, and the way buildings are being built is being changed with BIM, and construction is being changed. The construction industry is being changed by BIM. And so this evolution, this revolution from CAD to BIM is happening, and we're here in the middle of it. And I see small firm architects, many of them, not all of them, that same resistance to move from CAD to BIM that I saw in the 90s when I saw the profession resisting moving from hand drawing to CAD, which today seems ridiculous that you would resist the change from hand drawing to CAD. But I see that happening in BIM as well. And I don't blame anyone. I'm in that same place where I'm at that age where I grew up in the profession using CAD. And so moving to a completely different technology, and it is a completely different technology and how it works and why it works and the time it takes to learn it. I completely understand that resistance, but it's inevitable. It's happening. It's going to happen. And if we don't get on board, it's going to pass us. Just like many of the hand drafting architects of the 80s and 90s were left behind when the CAD revolution happened. So technology, it's an amazing thing. So we have these virtual studios today. I'm a virtual studio. Five Cat Studio is a virtual studio. I have my studio here in Westchester. Anne-Marie has a studio in the house in a separate part of the building, in a separate part of the house, two levels away from one another. And our staff is remote. Our project managers have their own studios. Our draftsmen have their own studios, independent contractors. That's a result of technology. That's a result of communication tools and collaboration tools finally maturing enough where we can do that, where we can shut down our big 2,000 square foot monster of a studio and send everybody home and save $5,000 a month in rent virtual studios are here. It's the way that small firm architects will eventually, all small firm architects will start that way, that they will start as virtual studios, and then they will grow into physical studios if they choose to. And so virtual studios is part of that technology. And the internet will continue to change the world, as well as our profession and the way we do things. And so resistance to that change is important. We need to be aware of the resistance, because the next generation of technology is coming. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is this next generation of technology, and how it's going to change the profession again. It's going to change the profession dramatically from what it is today. And so the question here is, will you be there to take advantage of that opportunity, to see this next generation of changes coming in technology? And will you take advantage of that? Will you be an early adopter of this new revolution, of these inevitable changes that are going to take place in our profession? It's not an option. They're coming. These technologies that I'm talking about today are here. Okay. These technologies that I'm going to talk about today are here, and they will be mainstream in our society here in the United States and most of the world in the next 5 years. In the next 5 years, these technologies that I'm talking about, they're already here. They're already happening. But they will be mainstream. They will be part of our lives within the next 5 years. And I'm giving architects a pass here. I'm saying within the next 10 years for architects, because architects are notoriously slow to adopt these technologies. And so we will adopt them, but we will be slow to adopt them. So I'm going to say that these technologies will dramatically change the profession within the next decade. And so I want to go through some of these technologies, and you've heard of all of them. You know of all of them. Many of them have been talked about for a decade or more, but they've all sort of been science fiction and fantasy, and they're slowly becoming real, and they're all real today. Every one of these things are real, and they're going to change the profession and the way we do things. So the first technology is 3D printing. It's here. We're already doing it. You can buy a 3D printer for a few hundred dollars, and you can design something, a 3D model on the computer, and you can have this thing printed out. A couple of hours, you can have a model of whatever you want. That technology will evolve and will become a significant change in the profession, in the industry of construction and the way we do things. Certainly modeling, you can take that 3D model that's on your computer and print it out. You can print out models of your buildings so that and see them real life and see how they work, and much faster than you could create them by cardboard or more precise, at least, and to the speed of how precise they can be. And parts of the building themselves. You can have buildings that the parts are fabricated with 3D printing. That we can design anything now, right? We can use our creativity to design anything, because now we can use, everything can be custom at an affordable cost. Eventually they will be. You'll have these 3D printers as part of our construction process, and we can design a new hinge or a new detail or a piece of furniture or some object in the building, or structural elements that are difficult to fabricate can now be 3D printed and become, they take our models and they just fabricate them. We can do anything, right? So now with 3D printing, we can design whatever we want. It could be custom, and they can fabricate these custom pieces very quickly with 3D printing. Neri Oxman at the AIA convention talked about 3D printers and building, printing entire buildings. It's really here, but it's certainly not mainstream, but it's eventually going to happen, that there will be ways to 3D print not only components of buildings but entire buildings. You see it in the journals; they're doing it already. So we're no longer going to be limited to the catalogs, to the available parts and products that are available to us. We're going to be able to 3D print things in the future, very near future, and that is going to significantly change the way we do what we do as architects. It's going to change the profession. 3D printing will change the profession within the next 10 years. It's going to be a significant part of what we do and how we do it. It's already here. And I'm going through these technologies in sort of in order of time, of the evolution. That 3D printing is already here. It's already happening. Of these five or six technologies I'm going to talk about here today, this one's already, you know, ahead of the others, but it's significantly going to change the way we do what we do. The second one is VR, virtual reality. You know, that's sort of the buzzword right now in architecture, in design. It's coming mainstream. We have the Oculus Rift 3D headset. You can buy it for less than $1,000. I think it's about $600. You can buy a headset and you can walk through your 3D models. HTC Vive, same thing. You put your phone in the thing and you are in your model. And the things that we can do, certainly we're going to be able to design using virtual reality. We're going to be able to build virtual models and walk through our buildings and say, oh, that over there doesn't work. Let's make that work better. We're going to, obviously, a very clear change will be clash detection. We will be able to develop our architecture much quicker. Once these models are built, we're going to be able to walk through and see those problems before they become real problem, you know, conflicts between structure and HVAC and design clashes with structural clashes. Those things are going to happen with virtual reality, we're going to be able to walk through our buildings. In marketing and design itself, we're going to be able to not only use that marketing to, you know, virtual reality, we're going to be able to show our clients, walk through them through our architecture, and they're going to be able to literally experience our buildings. It's not virtual. It's in their mind, it becomes real. It's so real, virtual reality, that it tricks your mind that it's real, and you actually think that it's real. And so you're going to be able to walk your clients through buildings without actually walking through those buildings. You're also going to be able to get quicker decisions. So the design process will be quicker because you're going to be able to show a client very quickly what you're talking about. You know, try to convince a client to do something with 2D drawings in CAD or even a 3D model that they're looking at through a monitor. When they put these headsets on and walk through their building, it's going to be much easier to make the decisions. And so client decision-making will be significantly impacted. Let's see here. I have some notes. It's this Oliver Demangel, I think is his name. He says that it's going to become so real within the next 5 years that it's going to be more powerful than cocaine for architects, that architects are going to want to use this so badly that they're not going to want to stop using it. You're going to use virtual reality for testing for light scenes and natural lighting and other user testing. You're going to be able to do maybe emergency egress testing. You're going to actually be able to put users in this building before it's built and create scenarios of emergencies and have different use cases, both from a design point of view and an emergency point of view, on how those people actually react and be able to design and modify buildings and designs based on real testing before buildings are actually built. So buildings will become safer because of virtual reality. And so it's here. Virtual reality is here. It's going to significantly change the way we design buildings, certainly going to change the way buildings are built. And virtual reality is one of those technologies that within the next 10 years is certainly going to completely change the way architecture is designed and built. And you know, you imagine these, you see these big headsets, you know, the Oculus Rift is this big bulky thing that you put on your eyes. It looks ridiculous from my point of view, but it's amazing technology, right? But imagine, you know, think back in the 90s when you had a cell phone and you had that big brick of a cell phone that was like 10 inches tall and 2 inches wide and 3 inches deep. That was state of the art. That was the technology. That Oculus Rift, we'll look back in 5 years and it'll be much smaller, much less obtrusive. Those changes are coming. And so virtual reality, you just, you know, put glasses on or some minimal goggles, and you'll be able to walk through these spaces without all of that, basically a small monitor attached to your head. It'll all evolve, and it will become part of the way we live, you know, inside and outside of architecture, that virtual reality will become a part of our mainstream life.
Let's take a quick break here to say thank you to FreshBooks for their support as a platform sponsor of Entree Architect, because as a platform sponsor, FreshBooks has provided funding and support for our overall mission here at Entree Architect. They recognize the need for small firms like us to build better businesses in order to be better architects. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use accounting software designed to help us small firm owners get organized, save time, and get paid faster. It takes care of invoicing, expense tracking, estimating, reporting, and it all happens out on the cloud, so you have access to your information from anywhere that you have access to the internet. And I use FreshBooks for my own small firm, Five Cat Studio, and my favorite feature of the FreshBooks software is sending my invoices by email and allowing my clients to pay by credit card. When FreshBooks says that you'll get paid faster, they're not kidding. With the convenience of clicking a button and paying by credit card, many of my clients pay now as soon as they receive their invoice. And for those clients who don't pay right away, FreshBooks automatically sends them a reminder of the balance due at an interval that I set. So once I send an invoice, I can go back to being an architect, and I don't need to chase down any of my clients. And Tim Lee of FreshBooks will show you how easy it is to send invoices by email on our exclusive video series Tim and I produced exclusively for the Entree Architect community. Check out this free video series at entrearchitect.com/FreshBooksVideo. There's no catch. There's no email. It's completely free. Just go to entrearchitect.com/FreshBooksVideo and you will get the videos right away. There's three of them. Shows you everything you need to know about getting started. And then go to FreshBooks.com/Architect, FreshBooks.com/Architect, and sign up for your free 30-day trial and give it a try. It's free. I suggest you just send one invoice and see what happens. That's how I got started. Just send one invoice to one client and see how it works. And when I did that and I got paid much faster than usual, I signed up for the rest of it and I set up my whole account in FreshBooks. FreshBooks.com/architect for your free 30-day trial. And be sure to enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
So virtual reality is certainly a technology that will disrupt architecture and will change the way we do what we do. And so that's the second one. The third one, also here, you know, also happening already, is drones. You know, drones right now, you know, mostly toys at this point. They've become much more than toys. They have drones that you can send up and you can use them for photography and you can do all these different things with drones. But I just listened to a podcast on the Tim Ferriss Show. Mark Andreessen, one of the pioneers, one of the fathers of the internet, says that autonomous consumer drones, like they're talking about at Amazon with delivery, autonomous drones that you basically tell it what to do and it goes and does it. It's here now. He says that it's going to happen within the next couple of years, that they are going to be introduced as consumer products and that you're going to be able to basically program it. And it's going to go do what you want it to do. And just imagine what an autonomous consumer drone can do for architecture. Not only photography, which is what most drones are being used for now in the industry. You send up a drone, you use remote control and you send it up there and you take pictures of your site, you take pictures of your architecture. That could be autonomous. That could, you know, delivery and marketing, you know, all those things happened. Marketing with photography, deliveries. Amazon's talking about, you know, having Amazon drones. When you order something within hours, a drone shows up on your doorstep and drops off the package. Sounds like science fiction, right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen much sooner than we think, because it's already here. The technology is already here for that to happen. Certainly in the industry of architecture and construction, inspections will be huge market for drones. any job where there is safety concerns with visual inspections with human beings will all be done with drones. You're going to be able to send automated drones up to tops of buildings, to roofs, have insurance inspections, have construction job site inspections, cell tower inspections, all done with drones. They go up, they 3D scan everything. They could have infrared filters and sensors to detect leaks for, anomalies in electrical wires or gas leaks. They're going to be able to detect all that. Delivery of materials to high locations to bring materials from the ground to locations that are on the roofs or up higher, all could be done with drones, picking up materials and delivering them all autonomously while the building's being built. It could be programmed, and that's happening without the danger and the use of manpower to get the material to where you want it to go. Scanning existing conditions, drones can be used for, imagine a drone, autonomous drone. You program it to fly around a building, and it scans the entire building and documents within a fraction of an inch, the entire building on the outside. And it goes back and you download that information, and it creates a model, 3D model, within eventually seconds. And then it prints out a 3D printed model of the building. Pretty amazing, right? I mean, so that's technology that's going to happen. Scanning inside as well, scanning, having a drone, an interior drone, go from room to room, scanning the room, creating existing conditions. It's going to happen. It absolutely will happen. They're talking about drones building buildings. Flight Assembled Architecture is a company that used drones to build a 6-foot tower out of styrofoam blocks, 1,500 styrofoam blocks, all autonomously. It programmed it, and then this drone picked up the blocks and built this tower. Eventually, you're going to be able to scale that up, and that will you'll be able to use drones to build buildings. And so, and that leads me into the next technology, because drones is really just the first, which is, for me, I think that's interesting that drones came first, because robots have been talked about forever. They've been talking about robots since the 50s, in science fiction. They've been talking about robots. Robots are obviously here. We see robots building cars and doing other things. They vacuum our houses. Imagine a Roomba, which is, I think, the name of the vacuum cleaner. Imagine that scanning your existing conditions, going from room to room and 3D scanning the room. And while you're not there, you just drop it off. It goes from room to room, scans the room, and creates a 3D model of the existing conditions automatically, all autonomously, all happening. Robots are already demolition tools. They have robots made by Husqvarna, and I think there's another company, European company called Brock with 2 Ks, Brokk, that are demolition robots that you program them, and they dismantle buildings and they sort the materials and do everything that you want a demolition crew to do. They have robots to do that. Obviously, construction methods, as time goes on, the things that are repetitive are things that robots are good at. Anything that's repetitive is something a robot can take over. Painting, you can have a robot paint rooms easily, once they do that, but you can easily imagine robots doing that. Floor finishing, excavation, certainly, you can have a robot programmed to be precisely excavating for your building. No longer do you need a human operator to excavate for new building. Masonry is already happening. There's a company called Construction Robotics. You can check it out at construction-robotics.com. They have a robot called SAM, S-A-M, semi-automated mason. Basically a brick-laying robot, and they have video of it. That basically an arm comes out, picks up a brick, puts mortar on it, puts it where it belongs, drops it in, sets it down right where it needs to be, and goes on to the next one. And it could build an entire veneer wall side by side with human masons. It's here. It's already happening. framing will be done by robots. Welding is already in the automotive industry. Welding is a huge part, all done by robots today in large manufacturing, automotive manufacturing. Cutting, CNC machines is already happening. That's basically a robot. You program the cutting machine to cut exactly what you want, all computer-controlled cutting. And anything manufacturing, within the architecture and in the construction industry, robots are going to, continue to build, create the materials, create the products, create the things we build buildings with. Maintenance and repair can be the inspections of maintenance and repair. Not only inspections, robots can inspect buildings, but then also see something that's out of the ordinary and fix it. Cleaning, cleaning of buildings can all be done by robots. The cost of construction, interestingly, when you have robots involved, potentially could go down. The cost of construction and materials that go into buildings. So construction may be able to come down and we'll be able to do more with the money that we have. So think about this. So if robots and drones and 3D printing is part of what we're doing here, and it's going to change the way we do things, think about this. So how are we going to change? How are robots and drones and 3D printing? How is that going to change the way we do our work? How do our drawings change? Do we even have drawings anymore? Do the drawings become digital files that, are, 3D virtual reality walkthroughs? They're no longer drawings. The drawings, in the future of architecture, there are no drawings. Think about that, that architects of the future will not be drawing. We'll be building our buildings within computers that we will essentially, which we're doing already with BIM, we're building the entire building within a computer. So it's a real building inside, not a real building, but obviously the virtual building representation of the building and then walking through it with VR and doing all the things that we're going to do. How does our profession change? How does our job as architects change? It's not going away, it's evolving. And so these are things that we want to think about. And it's happening faster than you think. It's happening now. So how does our role as architects evolve, and how do we get paid for what we do? What do we do? Those are the things that we should be thinking about. We should be thinking about how we do what we do as architects when we're talking about these technologies. These technologies are here, and in the next 5 years, they're going to be mainstream. And in the next 10 years, they're going to be the way we do architecture. It's going to be what we do and how we do it. It's not going to be an option. The next one, I think it's the fifth one, is artificial intelligence. And I love artificial intelligence. I love the idea. I've been reading about artificial intelligence since high school. For me, it's always been this science fiction thing. But it's real, and it's already happening. It's already here. Imagine in architecture, computers designing buildings. I know, everybody just cringed, right? Well, with artificial intelligence, you will have computers that are intelligent enough to be creative. That they'll be able to do creative tasks. They will be able to look at an existing building and design an addition. It may not be as beautiful as we want it to be. Potentially, maybe they will be. But it will do everything it needs to do. It'll be able to create plans and floor plans and sections of spaces that meet specific requirements, and it will be able to do the things that architects do, right? Interesting. And I know it's scary for architects. Architecture is going to evolve. It's going to change. It's already very, very different than it was centuries ago, and it will continue to change. There's the deep learning is basically the term they use for artificial intelligence that instead of tasks programmed, let me read this. It says, instead of tasks pre-programmed, the system is able to train and improve itself based on experience. That's essentially what artificial intelligence is, based on deep learning, that computers are learning, that computers potentially could, instead of pre-programmed tasks, like, you know, with, I was talking about with a drone, you program what you want it to do and it'll do it. Imagine a drone or a robot learning what it needs to learn and starts doing it better than it was originally programmed to do. That's what's going to happen. It's happening. That's artificial intelligence. It's not scary. I know a lot of people's mind, as soon as you hear artificial intelligence, you think of the rise of the robots taking over the humans and we all die. That won't happen. The technology will evolve and it will become just like, you know, Siri on our telephones, you know, that, you know, computer vision and speech recognition and natural language was impossible just a few years ago. And today we're talking to our iPhones and iPhones are doing what we're asking it to do. Driverless cars. Google has created a driverless car. Other companies have created these driverless cars that now work. That's all based on deep learning and artificial intelligence, that these will become tools for what we do and how we do it. Imagine a computer designing a space and instantly creating multiple schemes that then you can take and manipulate and do the things we need to do. Imagine that. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's coming. Then the more practical things like code reviews, all the things we don't like, this will be great, right? We'll be able to have artificial intelligence do these things we don't like to do, like bookkeeping, or code reviews. You'll be able to, you know, present the computer the drawings, and it will be able to go through it and do a full analysis of the code, of the zoning, of the structural design, of the accessibility routes, and all the things that go along with accessibility. That artificial intelligence will be able to allow computers to flag things that we may miss or we may not want to do. That it'll be just, that's part of the workflow, that we design it and then the computer checks it. Parking and traffic patterns, things like that, will be able to be all fully designed and put together through artificial intelligence. Really, really cool stuff in my mind. So those are five technologies that will absolutely change the way we do what we do as architects. And they're coming. They're already here, and they're going to be mainstream within 5 years and will absolutely change the profession of architecture within the next decade. But don't be afraid of this. You know, I imagine that many of you are listening to me and thinking, this is horrible. This is not the profession that I want to be part of. I say, fear not. I say this is not going to replace architects, but we absolutely need to acknowledge it. We absolutely need to adapt to it, to be the leaders of this technology. That is the most important thing, that we recognize it, accept it, acknowledge it, and become the leaders of it. Embrace it. Don't miss this opportunity, architects. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't let this be the construction management revolution where architects gave away their services and control of the construction process when we were the master builders. And we're all reclaiming that. We all want to be master builders and developers, right? We let that go. We were, and we let it go. We gave it away because of the legal ramifications or the insurance ramifications, and the construction management industry was born, right? They basically took the roles and the responsibilities away from the architects. This is an opportunity. I'm telling you right now that these things are coming. Become the leaders of them. Become the leaders of them. Machines and technologies will change the way we do what we do. And they will be our tools. They're not going to be our replacements. They're not going to replace us as architects. But we need to be willing to change. Our workplaces will change. Our studios will change. Our roles and responsibilities as architects will change. Change is inevitable, and it's coming very, very quickly. In our lifetimes, these things will be mainstream, and they're going to change the way we do it. And we're either going to embrace it and become the leaders of it, or we won't. We'll reject it, we'll push it away, and other people will see other industries, other people will see that vacuum and that opportunity, and they will seize it and they take it right from us as architects. And we will vanish. we will vanish as a profession if we don't seize the opportunity to take these technologies, embrace them, become masters of them, and have them be our tools, have them be the things that take our profession, take our businesses to the next level. Piece by piece, it becomes part of what we do, and the opportunities that are there for us to take. We just need to embrace them. And I just want to talk about one more technology. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I see this coming as well. The sixth one. The sixth one is cryptocurrency. You may have heard of Bitcoin. I imagine a future. And this is, you know, like I said, these are sort of in the order of the most short term to the longest term. And I think cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, basically electronic currency, is going to eventually be the way we do commerce. That paper money, if you think about paper money and you think about the impracticality of paper money and the way that money and the current systems of a central bank, and again, I don't know a lot about this stuff, but I just think beyond what we have today, and we're already doing that. When I get paid by credit card and I send an invoice to a client and a client says, yes, I'll pay it with my credit card, essentially all that's happening is that we're taking numbers from my client's bank account and they're transferring it electronically. These numbers are going into my bank account. And so their bank account gets reduced by this number of, you know, this amount of numbers, and my account goes up in those that amount of numbers. Technologies like PayPal and Stripe are completely technology. I mean, completely digital. That digital currency, in my mind, and in my opinion, and again, limited knowledge, is going to be the future. It's going to happen. It's going it'll be the way we pay, that it'll just be numbers from one account moving to another account through a decentralized, no central bank system that will have less corruption, will have less control by humans. It'll be an electronic payment system that is set up. And certainly there's possibilities that this goes in the wrong direction and becomes a problem. I don't know enough about it, but I just imagine that the future of currency will be all digital and it'll become electronic. That Bitcoin is already acknowledged by the IRS. The IRS has already ruled back in 2014 that Bitcoin is a real thing and it's acknowledged by the IRS. They look at it as property, not currency. And so it's subject to capital gains taxes. You know, the government's got to get their piece. And so Bitcoin is already acknowledged. So it's already legal in the United States. And it's handled more like precious metals than it is currency. And so that technology is happening. There are already dozens of companies that are developing the evolution of Bitcoin. It's just something that I wanted to mention. And to just keep on your radar that, and I don't know how that changes our profession, but I know it changes our society and will eventually change the way we do architecture as well, which is why I put it at the end and sort of after the discussion about, you know, claiming and reclaiming the profession. I just want you to think about digital currency and cryptocurrency, things like Bitcoin. So that's the sixth one. I wanted to the title of this is six technologies that will change the profession. And so that's the sixth one. But the top five, certainly 3D printing, virtual reality, drones, robots, and artificial intelligence are here now. Our society is going to change because of the way these things are evolving. And like I said, we as architects, this is going to change our profession. Our profession is changing. And it is up to us as architects, as small firm architects, to embrace these technologies. You know, it's time to go from CAD to BIM. Time. It's time to embrace virtual reality and drones and robots and artificial intelligence. It's time to embrace it and to become the leaders of these technologies. So when people, you know, when the society looks at who is in control of these technologies, who are the experts within these technological realms, and they say, oh yes, the architects, they know what they're doing. They're the ones who know how to use this technology, how to embrace it and make it better. Not some new industry that comes in and takes over the things that we do. So just think about it. These are six technologies that are going to change the world around us. Six technologies that will change the profession in the coming decade. Think about it and embrace it. Complete show notes and a direct link to download this episode will be found at entrearchitect.com/episode127. And don't forget to grab your free digital course, Profit for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/free course. My name is Mark R. LePage, and I'm an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go share what you know. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick, so when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure, and when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entre Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short-haul frequent flyer.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.